You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today I have Jeremy Barnett on the line, and he's CEO over at Rad AI. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Appreciate you having me on, Adam. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, Jeremy, so love this topic that we're going to be delving into today. So how AI can be used to enhance creative strategy versus being a content creator replacement. So everybody's talking about AI. Let's just start broad. Like, what? Give me some of those broad strokes on your views about it overall, before we dive in.
Well, our position as a company and my own personal position as an entrepreneur and having had some successes and failures over the years is, you know, the key component with any successful mission is having the right strategy at the beginning. And I think it's a very seriously overlooked part of the process with respect to marketing decisions, content decisions, creative decisions. There's inherently a lot of bias with the things that we do and how we operate around our lives. And that same bias populates the way we conduct ourselves in our professional lives. So, you know, we built a company around creating a solution in the form of artificial intelligence that helps you make better content decisions. And then as a reward, the brand that follows our quote unquote content recipe, which is delivered by AI, is rewarded with better performance. And better performance can be qualitatively just defined as better ROI on a campaign, or maybe it's better brand awareness, or whatever the objective is of the program.
Yeah. And so we'll go further into that. But what do you think about AI in general? Like, just in general, like, because there's a lot of noise going around about that.
Well, I think AI is here to stay. I think there's the initial adoption curve. You know, it always starts, there's always like a personal initial adoption curve, which I think is interesting. And people that initially were scared of some robots with red eyes coming to kill you now started using it. And the adoption has now started to be not just adoption from a use case perspective. In other words, people are using it and creating value out of it in whatever their objectives are. Mm-hmm. But it's also a deeper understanding that, you know, AI is not going to replace your job. It's not going to replace you as a human. I think the only risk as a human that is commercially using it for some sort of objective is the type of person who doesn't want to learn and how to adopt and integrate to make them better. I think of artificial intelligence as an enhancement on the thing that you're trying to accomplish. So really high quality, hyper creative people that are talented at the thing that they do, they're going to become even better at what they do. They're going to be faster at getting to a high quality end product. Put artificial intelligence in the hand of your favorite movie director. Instead of one hit every 5 years, it's one hit every 2 years. So the way I think about it is, number one, it's here to stay. There's impact not just in our professional lives, which I think there's a lot of obvious use cases there, but there's some other interesting examples. Like, for, you know, my son, he's a golfer. He's 13 years old, for example. And I'm always thinking about that pulley and balance of how to push him and not be the overbearing parent, but also be the parent who's keeping him accountable.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you that it's an incredible struggle. So I have a ChatGPT set up just for that problem specifically, and I use it almost like a hybrid counselor to give me ideas on how to communicate with my son and motivate him, but do it in a way that's consistent with our relationship. And the interesting component there is it's providing me really high quality examples that it's pulling from, obviously, these really big God model data sets. And that's a use case that I use in my personal life. So there's not just these commercial applications. There's all sorts of different ways you can interact with AI. But it's important to remember, it's always like the pen is always in your hand as the person who's using artificial intelligence. And I think that's really important to remember.
And by the way, that might be what you just shared. That's my favorite use case now of, and I will be repeating that, of using ChatGPT, because that's an amazing use case to get closer. And I mean the humanizing component of it. Like, how can we help get closer as humans using some of these tools, right? Because I think sometimes we take for granted that certain knowledges are just common sense. They're not, right? And if we can to get some of those ideas, let's just kind of break that out a little bit further. Some of the ideas that you're getting based off of that communication in that ChatGPT channel that you're training to, get ideas for communicating with your son, what would we have had to do in the past, right, to get that information? You had to write some books. You might have had to go to a seminar. You might have, and I'm not saying you don't do those things, by the way, but I just mean this is an addition. It's a benefit. It's a bonus.
Well, yeah. In the past, there would have been, for me to just solve that personal problem, which is, by the way, this is a super interesting conversation because I always, I'm a big believer of, human EQ plus AI equals unbelievable results.
Absolutely. Well, so I hope this context, an interesting conversation. That's what we're here for. Jeremy, go ahead.
If you're not interesting and I'm not interesting and the company we're building isn't
in
interesting, totally.
Go ahead, please.
My process would have been, I would have done a Google search. Mm. And I would have had to comb through a bunch of websites, the majority of them I would not have found the information I was looking for because the content, the highly specific content that you're looking for in that content, it's embedded into these places that you have to find, right? That's the first thing. Or the second thing is maybe maybe depending on how serious I was about being a great parent, and I'm pretty serious about, sharing my putting the same, if not more, energy into my family mm-hmm. life as I do in my business. And that's another conversation altogether. But there's family counselors, there's all sorts of different paid professionals that are out there that help you with these types of scenarios. In this context, I don't think it would have gone there, but I would have spent a few hours looking for information, and I probably wouldn't have been satisfied with the information. Then I would have called some friends. And in this context, most of my friends, they're not going to give me good advice in this context. I'm going to get a bunch of, everybody's got,
they're well-meaning, but well-meaning intentions doesn't mean that you get to the right place.
Yeah, but I got this the beautiful part about this is I just got this unbiased set of information that I could then take and interpret based off of what's best for me and my relationship with my young son. And, create value out of it within my personal life. So, I love talking about this stuff because there's so many different ways that we can connect as human. And it bolts back into what we were talking about earlier, which is whether it's personal communications, professional communications, if you're a content creator making content, if you're a business with a strategy to identify a new audience and then put a piece of content in front of that new audience and subsequently take market share associated with that new audience, you ultimately have to be authentic with the way you're approaching that situation, number one, and having more unbiased information to help you with your quote unquote authentic approach is going to no doubt get you the results that you're looking for.
Hmm. Now, I know you have both of these in you, so I don't want to put words in your mouth. I know you have components of it, but I'm just curious, do you consider yourself more on the creative side or on the technology side, as a technologist or otherwise enthusiast? Which one do you relate with more?
Well, I always,
and I know you have both, and you don't have to choose either or.
I'm a B plus in both categories. I think I'm a B plus across the board in most categories. I think as a CEO of a startup that's growing, you kind of have to be good at a lot of different things. You got to be really good at articulating your vision and raising funds. In our case. But, I have an eye for creative, and I also have my eye for technology is really, really simplistic, which serves us. Simplistic meaning you have to really understand the problem that you're solving. And just because you have this really elegant solution that has the word AI in it, that doesn't matter if somebody's not willing to buy it at the end of the day, right?
Yeah, that's great. So, and the reason I asked that question, because I'm interested in how you're pairing AI to actually benefit creatives and the creative process. So maybe let's start going further down that path. How are you doing that?
We've created a artificial intelligence that understands the language of the internet. So similar to a lot of these God models that are out there. And we've trained our artificial intelligence to help any content creator or any brand that's creating content to create the best possible piece of content to achieve whatever their desired outcome is. And that's in the function of three different steps, which are the content creation steps, we'll call them. The first is we create a persona. The AI will tell you who your customer is, what they care about, what their interests are, what their motivations are to mobilize them to take action today. This is a real world, real time look at who your customer is, what they're talking about, and gives you the information before you come up with your content strategy. It gives you all the information to put together a creative campaign or strategy. So that's the first part of the process. The second part of the process is we will assign either key opinion leaders or influencers or creators to your campaign based off of that information. So we match up the historical content patterns of these influencers or creators. So the idea is there, this context is, who is the person that's going to amplify your message? And then the second is a product that we co-developed with Adobe, which is our content optimization feature. And the content optimization feature is just quite simply, once the content is created, you upload it, and our AI will tell you how to make it better to achieve your desired outcome based off of the audience you're trying to attract. So just to kind of recap, the first is what you should do and why, who's your audience. The second is who's the person to amplify your message to the audience. And the third is, once the content is created, how to ensure that it's the best possible version of that content to create your desired outcome.
As you've been working with more, well, I guess first I should say, is there any particular niches that you're working on versus others, just before we go further?
Well, we're right now, we're platform agnostic. We have gotten adoption within several industries, but that's more of a function of just early stage startup curve versus like, hey, we're really good in automotive or we're really good in the entertainment space or something
that's
along
fair.
Those lines. Yeah. And we really look at this, the language of the internet. And what that basically means is we have an infrastructure set up to understand the conversations that are going on the most popular platforms in the world. So data partnerships across the board with folks like Reddit, TikTok, you know, the different Meta properties. We use several different connections and hooks into Google. Like, and the idea is just understanding what the world is talking about today to make better informed decisions based off of your content strategy. And that's really what we've put out to market as our go-to-market. And that's where we got adoption because that's the part of the, that's a part of the process flow that we understand most deeply.
Any surprises, like as you've been gathering this data, you've been working with clients through the process that you described, like any surprises that you found along the way?
Tons. If you ask me tomorrow, there'll be add-ons to the list.
Oh,
I think
for sure.
The biggest,
welcome to the club, right?
The biggest surprise is, well, I don't know how much a surprise this is, but for me, it's just how challenging enterprise adoption is and the complexities of getting a product integrated and adopted at a company that, you know, is a Fortune 1000 and how hard that is and the patience associated with doing it. That is something that we grossly underestimated during our first couple of years of growth. And it's also something like there's just a whole world of lessons within the enterprise adoption curve that we've learned from, you know, stakeholder adoption to getting multiple different stakeholders to adopt. And then sometimes you lose a deal and you don't understand why you lost the deal. And it really forces you to get really, really honest with yourself and the product that you're selling and develop these partnerships that once you have them, you got to keep them, number one. And number two is, you know, including your clients in the product development roadmap and innovating with them. If you can get to that point, that's also been a surprise almost like a good surprise is like there's a willingness now because of how new AI is. And, you know, there's new roles that are getting created at these clients, right? These new roles like a chief AI innovation officer, like things like that, head of AI.
Go back a couple of years ago. Well, we have thought, I mean, we knew it was coming, but that fast, I don't know.
No, it's now becoming a mandate.
Relevant.
So we got a bunch of, you know, we got a bunch of free, I always say like we get a bunch of free publicity in our industry, almost a scary amount of it, which, you know, lends itself to a little bit of fatigue potentially, which I do lose a little bit of sleep over. But, you know, the whole idea is, you know, people are learning, people are adopting, and the further up the food chain you typically go in these larger organizations, the less fluent they're going to be with like how AI impacts content marketing or how AI impacts HR or how AI impacts whatever problem it is. So you got to really take a leadership position with your clients in that context strategically in order to further stimulate adoption.
Yeah, we have a large executive audience and we have a large audience of entrepreneurs as well. And there are decision makers listening. So can you give like maybe a use case scenario of what this looks like to work with Rad AI?
Sure. Yeah, we have, a few use cases. It's like Skechers, for example, is a client and they ran a very successful Super Bowl commercial with Tony Romo and Mr. T. That is not a commercial that was tailored for Gen Z audiences. You know, it's slip-on shoes. Slip-on shoes are for us old guys like me, 49-year-olds who don't want to bend over and tie their shoes type thing. So right
I know the Skechers marketing there, and I understand, but I'm like, I think everybody should know. I know they know their product. I know their market, but I have these green ones. They're neon green, and I love them, and they're just like Crocs or something like that. They're a gift. But sorry, I don't want to go to Skechers rant. Continue. But
well, no,
I'm
it's
just a fan.
Just
I'm like, I don't want to. Yeah. Is everybody use them only because we say it's for old guys?
Well,
but
they're
no.
very. No, they're very. They're also so very comfortable.
Comfy.
It's another.
So
it's another. It's another thing. And I, by the way, they're the third leader in the space, and they've really got quite an infrastructure around pushing out new products, and they know what they're doing. They know their
they,
market.
They really do. I'm so impressed. Yeah. Somebody had to tell me afterwards, like, those are for old guys. I'm like, really? I didn't know that. Amazing. Well,
but they're so comfortable.
Like,
but they're so
whatever.
Comfortable. Yeah, whatever, man. I like them.
I think that's the Snoop, and that got me.
And they have some good-looking new shoes, too. So there's a whole world of stuff there, but the point is like, in this context, it's using artificial intelligence to validate these really expensive decisions that you're going to make prior to making those decisions. So there's a strategic element there. Mm-hmm. With one of our other clients, Roman Health, they had a program with us, and they came to us with a fully baked out creative strategy. And the idea behind the campaign was, it's kind of about, you know, the name of the campaign was He Still Got It. So you're kind of catering to these guys that are between 45 and 55 years old. And they had all of these things kind of already pre-baked with the types of swag boxes they were going to give and all of the things they were going to do. And we said, well, let us just do our thing that we do, which is understand who your customer is today versus using dated information and assumptions based off of some sort of analytics environment that somebody who's obviously smart is looking at to make decisions. And what we found is their customer was not the 45 to 55 year old anymore. Their customer now today was this like 33 year old young early stage entrepreneur. He's single.
Really?
That was another big miss. Yes, he's a single guy who wants a little bit of pep in his step and wants an edge when he gets up in the morning, you know, maybe kind of, you know, goes out at night. He's not single. Maybe he's single. He's not married. So that's another interesting example.
Wow. So what a big miss that would have been, right? Like, that would have been a big miss of not hitting their core clientele.
Yeah, it would have been a miss of not hitting their core clientele as it's represented in today's modern marketplace.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. That's great. And I see it. And when you think about like large budgets, when you think about spends, like what is the, and I'm not, this could be rhetorical. You don't have to say a number, but like what could be the financial impact of a miss like that, right? Like that's,
well, I can give you examples. I mean,
please.
But, yeah. I mean, Anheuser-Busch last year made a huge mistake. And whether you agree or don't agree, it's not about that. What they did is they alienated everybody. They alienated a new audience that they were trying to attract because they weren't authentic with what they did. And they ended up retracting and taking down all of the content that they pushed out. So now you're upsetting the group that you wanted to go after. And then they also upset their core customer base. And they've been kind of recovering since then. You can tell just in their marketing and their media, they kind of went back to their grassroots. But there's an example of them not doing their homework and not really understanding how to communicate authentically to this new audience that they want to attract and understanding their core audience, right? Mm. So there's an example of, you know, several hundred million. I mean, there's all these different reports that are out there. Mm. Some reports go as large as $2 billion in damage to their market cap. But, you know, the thing about...
No, just a little bit, right?
Yeah. But the thing about, you, when you talk about brand safety, when you successfully... It's a hard number to quantify until you lose, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, don't call
brand
me on your way to work.
Without AI, like, in the future is, like, how? Like, we're just a baby media company with, you know, we got, like, over 30 social media channels. We reach 1 million people. But, like, whatever. Like, that's not... We're not... My voice isn't translated yet, right? And like once we start thinking about some international things and otherwise, it's like brand safety. I can't even imagine what that looks like without AI. It's impossible with all the other channels and things there are. Like you can't.
Yeah, that's a great point. It's like, don't call me
when you get home and tell me you didn't get in an accident. Nobody cares.
Right? Yeah. Oh, man, you're giving me all, you're the next host over here. You're giving me all kinds of fodder. You gave me two already. I'm in. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's not what you want to be known for.
No.
Well, Jeremy, man, I just have to say it's been great having you on the show. You gave some great use case scenarios, gave some great, I mean, you're doing great work over at Rad AI for the brands that you're working with. And I know you're out there growing the company. So that being said, for those that are listening or that want to follow the journey, they want to learn more. I mean, how do they do that?
You can follow me on LinkedIn, Jeremy Barnett, CEO of Rad AI. Really easy to find there. You can have a look at our website. It's radintel, RADINTEL.AI. And all of the above, we're highly communicative and, you know, always happy to connect with folks if there's a reason to connect. So I appreciate you having me on. This was a lot of fun, by the way. This kind of got my juices going for the day. So I appreciate
Come on, man. That's what we do. Yeah, we're if
That's what we do.
We work hard over here for you. This is a daily show. That's a good segue. This is a daily show. Hit that subscribe button. That's what I was going to say anyway next. So good job.
Click on it.
Keep me up for that
Do
one.
It now.
Oh, again, thank you for everybody that's tuning in. By the way, we're going to put the link to Rad AI in the show notes so that you can connect with Jeremy. And again, hit that subscribe button. And if you've been listening to us for a long time and you feel extra happy, then definitely leave us a review. We sure do appreciate that. And Jeremy, thank you so much for coming on. This was a lot of fun.
Likewise, man. Likewise. Have a wonderful rest of your day. I'll talk to you.